18. And we're going to look at verse number 19. Sometimes in the church we have been individuals say we don't believe in the Old Testament, but we do. Romans 15:4. Those things written aforetime, they're written for our learning, but we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We learn from the old, but we live according to the new. In Psalm 118 in verse number 19, listen to the psalmist. Some credit this to David, some credit it to other writers, but he says something very prolific. Here it is, almost a millennium, almost 1,000 years before Christ came. He writes and he says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go in to them, and I will praise the Lord."
Amen, amen.
"This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone, which the builders refuse, is become the headstone of the corner."
Yeah.
Verse 23. "This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Very interesting words. And I think it's interesting that we understand that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. I think we have to be mindful of the fact that the Old Testament was telling us what was going to come. The New Testament bears out the fact that what the prophets of old had said did in fact come into fruition. And so here we have this interesting text where the writer says, 1,000 years before the coming of Christ, he says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." And he says, "And I will go into them." And he says, "And I'll praise the Lord." I think it's very interesting that we have to be mindful of the fact that he was talking about a time. He's looking, if you will, through the telescope of time to a day when man will be able to go through the gates of righteousness. And he said, "This gate of the Lord," he says in verse number 20, "into which the righteous shall enter." What gate was he talking about? And I need us to understand a couple of things here tonight. That he was looking forward to a time. He was looking beyond Judaism. Because there's something we understand about the old law. The old law, there was no righteousness in the old law. The law of Moses could not make a man or woman right with God. Look at your Bible. The Bible said in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21, there was no righteousness in the old law. If you have the book, what does the Bible say? Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21. If you have it, brothers.
"I do not frustrate."
What Paul says, "I do not frustrate
the grace of God."
The grace of God.
For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Paul was saying, when it came down to the law, there was no righteousness. Amen. Look at chapter 3. And verse number 21. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 21, watch what the Bible says.
"Is the law then against the promises then of
against,
God?"
Go on and read.
God forbid. "For if there had been a law,"
watch this now, "if there had been a law given
which could have given life.
Which could have given life.
Verily.
Verily.
Righteousness should have been,
what it should have been.
By the law.
By the law. The Bible says, my friend, if this was the case, righteousness would have came by the old law.
Yeah.
And you got to understand, my friend, tonight, that's why we don't follow the old law. Because the old law of Moses cannot make us right with God.
That's right.
The Bible said there is no righteousness. I got to get myself ready, Brother Mitchell. In about 3 months, I got to, about 4 months, actually, I got to debate this fellow who wanted to challenge. He wanted to challenge me in regards to the fact whether or not we're under the law of Moses. He was saying we're under the law. I said, no, not the law of Moses. And I'm going to deal with that. I'm gonna deal with that, Lord. So in about 4 months, if the Lord say the same, y'all pray for me. Because one thing I understand, the Bible is plain. In the book of John chapter 1, verse number 17, the Bible said that the law came by Moses. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Look at your Bible. This is not in my lesson, but y'all looking like y'all interested. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14, I said, we're not under the old law. The Bible said in Romans 6 and verse number 14, watch what the Bible says.
For sin shall not have
dominion
over you.
Over you.
For ye are not under the law.
Watch the Bible. The Bible said, first of all, we are not under the law. Look at chapter 7 and verse number 4. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 4. Watch what the Bible says.
Wherefore, my brethren.
Wherefore, my brethren.
Ye also are become dead to the law.
The Bible said we're not under the law. The Bible said we are dead to the law. Look at verse number 6. Drop down to verse number 6. Look at verse number 6.
But now we are delivered from the law.
We're not under the law. We are dead to the law. We've been delivered from. Look at chapter 10, verse number 4. Romans chapter 10, verse number 4. Watch what the Bible says.
For Christ is
for
the end.
For Christ is the end
of the law.
Of the law. We don't need the law. We're not under the law. We are dead to the law. We've been delivered from the law because Christ is the end of the law. The Bible is plain tonight, my friend, that we don't need the law in order to be righteous, because there is no righteousness under the law of Moses. That's why the Bible is plain in Colossians 2:14, when the Bible said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, it was contrary to us. He took it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. Get from me the book of Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verse number 13. Around Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13, watch what the Bible says.
But now in Christ Jesus.
Ye who were sometimes.
Were far off. Are made nigh.
We are made nigh.
By the blood of Christ.
The Bible said Christ and his blood brought us nigh. Come on and read, sir.
For he is our peace.
Because Christ is our peace.
Who hath made both
Jew and Gentile one.
And hath broken
watch
down.
Watch this now. And he broke down
the middle wall of partition between us.
That was between us.
Having abolished
in his flesh.
The enmity. Even the law of commandments. Contained in ordinances. For to make in himself.
Watch this now. In himself.
Of twain.
Of two.
One
just new, one new man.
So
I want you to understand, my friend, this is what Jesus did. And we don't need the old law. Well, this is not in my lesson, but I'm telling you, y'all looking like y'all interested. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 24. Watch what the Bible says. The Bible says Galatians 3:24 that the
Wherefore,
law. Yes.
The law,
was our schoolmaster
to bring us unto
to
Christ.
Bring us to Christ.
That we might be justified.
That we might be justified.
By faith.
By faith. Come on.
But after that faith is come. We are no longer under schoolmaster.
No longer do we need the old law. I said because what we have today is so much better than the old law. if I had time, I said this not in my lesson, but if I had time, I would take y'all to the book of Exodus 32 and verse number 25. I said, if I had time, I would take it to Exodus 32, 25. I want you to see this quickly. Exodus 32 and verse number 25. I don't have time.
And
but
when
this,
Moses saw.
Watch this. The Bible said now, I'm going to read.
When Moses saw.
Now this is Moses was coming off of booming and shaking Mount Sinai. Moses had just received the Ten Commandments with God. From God that were written on tables of stone by the finger of God. Now he comes down from the mountain. And as he come down from the mountain, he looked and he sees God's people. And the Bible said, and when Moses saw
that the people were naked,
for
Aaron had made them naked, unto their shame
come
among
on
their
read.
Enemies.
Come on and read.
Then Moses stood in the
gate of the camp
and said,
who is on the Lord's side?
Let him come unto
Let
me.
Let him come unto me.
And all the sons of
Levi
gathered themselves together unto him.
Come on.
And he said unto them. Thus saith the Lord God
of Israel.
Put every man his sword by his side. And go in and out.
From gate to gate.
Throughout the camp. And slay every man his brother.
And
every man his companion. And every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi.
I want you to watch this now, because when the law of Moses came into effect, the Bible said the children of Levi
did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that
when
day.
When the law of Moses came into effect, the Bible said that same day, there fell among the people
about 3,000 men.
About 3,000 died when the law of Moses came into effect. I said, when Moses' law came, about 3,000 died. Well, I want to know what happened when Christ's law came. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. When Moses' law came, about 3,000 died. Well, what happened on the day when Christ's law came? Acts 2:41, the Bible says,
Then they that gladly
received his word
were baptized.
They were baptized.
And the same day.
There were added unto them.
About 3,000 souls.
About 3,000 were saved when Christ's law came, but about 3,000 died when Moses' law came. I want you to understand tonight what we have is so much better. I said it's so much better. Well, now the Bible says, and this prophet, and you got to understand something about a prophet. In Amos chapter 3 and verse number 7, the Bible says in Amos 3 and verse number 7, the Bible tells us.
Surely.
They don't want me to write tonight, Brother Mitchell. They didn't give me nothing to write with. I guess I wrote too much the other night. Well, Amos chapter 3 verse number 7, the Bible says. Oh, thank you, sir.
The Bible
says, surely the Lord God will do nothing. God reveals his secret. Unto his servants, the prophets. The Bible says, listen, God will not do anything unless he first of all reveals it to his servants, the prophets. And we looked at that on last night. We looked at the church. Last night in prophecy, we looked at Isaiah 2:2 and we looked at 2 Samuel 7 in verse number 12. We talked about the identifying marks of the church in prophecy. For the Bible said that it was going to start in Jerusalem. It was going to be in the last days. It would be for all nations. And it was going to come after David was dead. And then we looked at the book of Acts chapter 2 and we saw those identifying marks. And so therefore it helped us understand which church we ought to be a member of. Well, now the Bible says in regards to the fact of the righteousness. Now let's talk about the idea of the righteousness. He says, open to me the gates of righteousness. And he said, because I want to go in. Well, the question becomes tonight, well, where is God's righteousness? If we're going to be right with God, we need to understand where is God's righteousness. Because God's righteousness is God's system of justification, where God declares us not guilty. It's not the fact that we didn't do anything, because we are guilty of sin, Because the Bible still says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. The Bible still says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 that there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible still says in Romans 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. But the Bible said, thank God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where is this righteousness? Where this prophet was looking down the stream of time when he said, Lord, open to me the gates of righteousness and I'll go into them. And when I go in, I'm going to praise you. This gate of the Lord, he said, this gate, this single gate, this gate of the Lord, he said, into which the righteous shall enter. In other words, he was saying that once you go through this gate, then God will declare you righteous. Well, what is this gate that you and I must go through in order to be declared righteous? We got to find, first of all, the righteousness of God. And I said earlier that the Jews under the old law, there was no righteousness. Because Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1, Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God, here it is, they being ignorant of God's righteousness have gone about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So Brother Pound, where is this righteousness? Ooh, I'm glad you asked me that. The Bible is plain. It tells us where the righteousness of God is, this gate that we must enter in order for us to be right with God. Look at your Bible in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16 and 17. In Romans chapter 1, we'll find the righteousness of God. We'll find this gate that you and I must enter if we're ever going to be right with God. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed
of the gospel of Christ.
Well, that's powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. A prisoner, but I'm not ashamed. And I love that because Paul says, verse 14, I'm a debtor. Paul helped them to understand I'm indebted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Paul says, verse 15, I'm ready. Verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm a debtor because I remember what happened on the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
I remember I was religious, but I was wrong.
Yeah.
And I come by here to tell you that you can be religious and still be wrong.
That's right.
And what you need to have is an open and an honest heart.
Yeah.
He said, I thought I was doing, in Acts 23:1, I did everything in a good conscience. But Paul says, he had to come to the realization. The book says on his way to Damascus that he was struck blind. Y'all know the story. He was struck blind. And I like to preach that lesson every now and then, Brother Mitchell. Some things a blind man saw. Because he was blind, but he saw some things. He saw, Brother Gunnell, that you could be religious and still be wrong. He saw that you could have zeal for God, but still that zeal is not enough if that zeal is not mixed with knowledge. He saw where he was. He needed to do something about his situation. And so therefore, he says, I'm indebted to God because God has been so good to me. He didn't have to save me. He didn't have to do what he did. I'm indebted. But then he says, because of that, I'm ready now. I'm ready to proclaim this message of a Jewish Messiah. Who is he writing to? He's writing to Rome. Don't forget, it was the Roman soldiers that put our Lord through that pain and suffering. It was the Roman soldiers, you remember, that nailed him to the cross. He said, but I want y'all to know I'm ready to tell the world about this Savior. And then he says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. It doesn't matter what I got to go through. I'm not ashamed. And so Paul said in this righteousness, let's find this righteousness tonight. Paul said in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel
of Christ,
of Jesus Christ. Why is that, Paul? Because Paul said it is the power
of God.
It's the power of God unto salvation,
yeah,
to everyone that believeth.
Yeah.
He said to the Jew first,
and also to
to the Greek.
Yeah.
And then he said in verse 17, for therein. Well, what does that mean, therein? Well, flip it around. In there.
Yeah.
What is in there? In there, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed,
yeah,
from faith to faith. As it is written,
the just shall live by faith.
Amen. And so therefore, my friend, this gate that the prophet of old was looking for, it was the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because only when you and I accept the gospel can you and I be made right with God. That's why the Bible said, brethren, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and let's look at verse number 17. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, the Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new
creature,
a new creation, a new creature. That word creature means a creation.
Mm-hmm.
It means it goes, takes us right back to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, church, when God made Adam, Adam could not have said the day he was made that I had a terrible day on yesterday, because he had no past. When we come to Jesus Christ, you and I don't have a past, because Acts 22, 16, the Bible said baptism, it washes away. And that washing away, what it deals with is the very mind of God. It washes from the mind of God everything that you and I have ever done wrong. That's the beauty of baptism. I don't have time, but the Bible talks about that. That's in another lesson. Well, the Bible said there will come a time where God said their sin and their iniquity will I remember no more. He pointing to the fact that God had a plan by which man could be right in his sight. It is the gospel. And then we're in 2 Corinthians 5, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away.
Behold,
and behold, all things have become new. Drop down to verse, in deference to time, drop down to verse number 21. Watch what the Bible says.
For he hath made him.
Watch this. God had made him, made Christ,
to be sin for us.
I want you to understand this. This is how you and I are made right. God made Christ to represent sin for us. Christ was sin for us. Come on and read, sir.
Who knew no sin.
The very Christ who knew no sin,
that we might be made,
that you and I might be made
the righteousness of God in him.
The righteousness of God in him. You see, the Bible says you and I must be in him. If we want this righteousness, we must be in him. And the only way to get in him, you got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Young people, tonight, you need the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need the gospel. You need Jesus in your life.
Amen.
And I heard a word tonight. I just want to take a moment to talk to our young people. And I do appreciate our young people coming. And ever since Sunday, they've been here. And I appreciate our young people. And I recognize young people go through a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I do understand that. I just want to say this to our young people, that in life, the greatest discovery you could ever have is when you discover Jesus. I say he's the best thing.
Yeah.
You got to understand that in life is a trip. Life is an uneven journey. Many things you're going to be confronted with in life. And that's why back home I tell our young people, there are four pillars of life. And if you can remember these four things, they're going to help you. In life, there are four things. And I'll say the number one for last. As you go through life, if you're going to make it in life, if you're going to live a life where you're going to have a successful life, number one, every one of these will be my number one. But number one, you need to have, number one, a value of an education. You need to get something in your head. Remember this. People can take things from you, but they'll never be able to take what's in your head. Learn all you can. If you can go to school, go to school. Learn all you can. Because what happens in life as you get older, you're going to recognize you got to make a transition. Back home, I'm not sure how the grading system is here, but we go from kindergarten to 12th grade. And I tell them, as you go from kindergarten to 12th grade, it's all about the idea your teachers are looking out for you. But then after high school, you go off to college. When you go to college, you're going to learn a trade. But what you're doing, you're learning a trade. You're learning a profession. Because now you got to grow up. Because when you're young, somebody takes care of you. But as you get older, you got to learn how to take care of somebody else. Y'all not getting this. Y'all not getting this. You see, a doctor goes to school 8+ years beyond high school. What is the doctor doing? He's learning how to take care of somebody else. A doctor's not learning how to have surgery on himself. A nurse doesn't learn how to nurse herself. A teacher's not going to school in order to teach herself. When you get to a point of maturity, you got to learn how to take care of other people. You need a value of an education. Number one, you got to respect authority. Wherever you go, there's going to be authority. At home, you got to listen to somebody. On the job, you got to listen to somebody. At school, you got to listen to somebody. At church, you got to listen to somebody. The greatest leaders are those who were the best followers. You have to follow in order to lead. And another thing, leaders are always great readers. You will never be able to teach people much based on what you know yourself. You got to read in order to lead. And another thing, you never learn by talking. You only learn by listening. That's why young folk, in the presence of older folk, learn to listen and stop talking so much. My third number one, you have to have a healthy self-respect. You have to learn how to accept yourself. If nobody else loves you, you have to learn to love yourself. Don't try to be something for someone else in order for them to like you. When you love yourself and recognize God took the time to make you different than everybody else, you just learn to love yourself. Learn to appreciate yourself. And don't hang around people, my friend, that don't value you for who you are. And that's in life, there's only two people you're going to meet in life. Only two. People who are going to help you and people who are going to hurt you. You have to learn quick. Will this person help me or will they hurt me? If they're going to hurt me, you need to get away from them. If they're going to help you, you need to learn to lock hand in hand and learn to move through life with people who don't mind pushing you forward. And remember this, you don't need a bunch of friends in life. I say you don't need a bunch. I know you got 766 Facebook friends. I know you got all these friends on WhatsApp. But let me just say, a true friend is hard to find. And then my number one, again, the most important thing as you go through life, you're going to need a God consciousness. Amen. You got to, young folk, you got to have a God consciousness. Amen. No matter where you go, you got to always be mindful of God. Amen. Always be mindful of God. Amen. Do things that please God. Amen. So even when your parents are not watching, even when your boss is not watching, God has an all-seeing and all-seeing eye. Have a God consciousness. There's just certain things you just say, it doesn't matter if everybody else does it. I'm not going to do it because I recognize who I am and whose I am. I'm a child of the King. And therefore, it helps you to be grounded. When you remember those four things, you can go on through life. Yes, challenges are going to come, young people. Yes, peer pressure is going to come. But you just got to remember to keep your hand in God's hand. Amen. You got to remember, it doesn't matter what everybody else does. Children of God, we were never meant to fit in. I said a Christian was never meant to fit in. God separated us so we could stand out. We ought to stand out and not fit in into the mold of this world. That's why the Bible said, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so the Bible said, listen, in regards to the righteousness of God, I gotta hurry. I spent a lot of time there on my first point. Mitchell, I may not get past my first point here. But let me just say this in regards to baptism. Baptism, and you have to obey the gospel. In the gospel, it tells us you must be baptized. Jesus says, Mark 16, 15, 16, we talked about this, that Jesus got up from the dead to tell the world, gave the message to his disciples for them to give it to the world, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, one message, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Ooh, I'm probably going to get past this first point. Listen, baptism is how you and I become right with God. And I know, and what the devil does, he tries to fight individuals on baptism. I was talking to a young lady, and what happened was a few years ago, I was in my car driving. I got a call while I was in my car. And what happened was, there was a young lady, she was a student in the college there in Winter Haven. And she was talking to one of the young men of our congregation, and she told him, she says, I've been listening to your preacher. And she says, I got some problems with what he's saying, because I noticed that he places a lot of emphasis on baptism. And the young lady, she says that's not according to the Bible, that baptism is not necessary. And so anyway, well, she talked to the young man, and the young man came and told me what she said, and he says, would you mind if I gave her your number, because she want to talk to you? I said, by all means, please have her to give me a call. And so she called me. One day I was in my car riding, and she called me, and it's very interesting. Let me just take you to the scripture. She says, and she is very nice. She was a very nice young lady, very mannerable young lady. And she says, she called me Pastor Pounds, and she called me Pastor. Then she went to Reverend, and she would give me all those titles, you know, but I know who I am. So I was listening to her, and she says, baptism cannot be important. And I said, well, why would you say that? And then she took me to this scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 17. And let's look at that tonight. Because I just need you to get through the gates of right. We may pick up on this a little later. But I want to try to get through the gates of righteousness tonight. Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 17, the Apostle Paul is doing the talking. Go to read, sir.
For Christ sent me.
But she said, Brother Pounds, if Pastor Pounds, Reverend Pounds, if baptism is important, she said, Paul said, for Christ
sent me not to baptize.
Don't miss this now. She said, Christ sent me not to baptize,
but to preach the gospel.
But to preach. Don't miss this. Don't you miss this tonight. She says, if baptism is important, why would Paul say, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach? When she said that, I said to the young lady, I said, do you have a Bible? Or are you close by a Bible? She says, yes. And I said, do you have a pen? And she said, yes. I said, I'm riding in my car. I said, but I want you to understand this. I want you to understand a couple of things about this. I said, first of all, I said, I appreciate you. I said, because it's very admirable for a young lady to be interested in biblical things. You know, because young folk today, their minds could be just anywhere. And so I told her, I said, this is very, This is very commendable for a young lady. I think she's about 21, 22 years old. I said, this is very commendable for a young lady to be interested in biblical things. And after I complimented her, I said, now let's study a little bit. I said, well, I want you to understand what the Apostle Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 17. Paul uses a Greek construct. I don't want to get too technical here because I know I'm talking to grandma too tonight. But Paul uses a Greek construct. And of that day, they had a way in which they would talk. They would use this ou, and if I was writing Greek tonight, it's ou, and then this is Allah. And what that means is ou Allah, not but. And they would use this, and what this simply did, all of this, you don't have to worry about the Greek, but just this simply did was, it would place emphasis on one, but it did not negate the other. He was just placing emphasis on something. What he was saying, Christ sent me not to preach, not to baptize, but to preach. He wasn't saying that baptism. All right, let me just show you this in the Word of God. Let me just show you this Greek construct so y'all can, let me put a window here so y'all can see this. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 5. And this is where I took her. I said in Acts chapter 5 and verse number 1. Let's look at this. Let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verse. We're going to look for this Greek construct, not but. And I'm going to show you it emphasizes one, but it does not negate the other. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 5, verse number 1, watch what the Bible says.
But a certain man. Named Ananias. With Sapphira his wife.
Sold
a possession.
Now they sold a possession.
And kept back part of the price.
Now watch this now. And they kept back. They were trying to impress folk evidently. Making them think that they sold a possession. And evidently they're going to give 100% of the proceeds. And so the Bible said, but they kept back part of the price. Come on, read.
His wife also being privy to it.
Now watch this. Now the husband and the wife, both of them are part of this. They conspiring together. Wives, you follow your husband as long as he follow the Lord. Husbands, you got to learn to be a right hand. The only right head is the head that's following Christ. And that's why you need to take your time when you're dating to make sure he's following Christ. You see, it's not what he drives that's important, but what's driving him. That's what's important. It's not his jewelry. Does he know Jesus? It's not his clothes. Does he know Christ? We sometimes, not based on his money, does he know the master?
Yes, sir.
We got to get to the point of understanding why we date. Ooh, I don't have time. Ooh. You got to take your time when you're dating. Because do you realize when you date somebody, when you first meet them, you don't even meet the person, that's their representative? They just send their representative out to meet you. Yeah, because he does stuff. Even his mama don't even know who that boy is. He opened the door for you. And you remember when you're dating, how you get butterflies just when you see one another. And later on, you just know that's indigestion. But you know, you just, it's amazing. It's amazing when you could be on the phone for hours. You're talking about nothing. And you just, after a while, girl, I just love how you breathe. Then you get married after a while, 3 o'clock in the morning, you wake up. Girl, wake up. Turn around. Got your mouth open breathing on me. I say things change. I'm moving on. But the husband and wife conspired together. I know where I am. Come on, sir. Go to read.
And brought a certain part.
Yes.
And laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said.
Ananias,
why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie?
Why hath Satan filled your heart to lie?
To the Holy Ghost.
Watch this now. Lie to the Holy Ghost.
And keep back part of the price.
Don't miss this now. And keep back part of the price.
Of the land.
Watch this now. Come on.
Whilst it remained.
When you sold it. You had the money, was not it yours?
Your own.
Come on and read.
And after it was sold.
After it was sold.
Was it not thine own?
Come on and read. Yes.
Why hast thou conceived this thing?
Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?
Thou hast not lied unto
men. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. He said, you have not lied to man.
But unto God.
But to God. But they did lie to man. But the greater emphasis was they lied to God. Not but. Go to John 6, 27. Go to St. John chapter 6 and verse number 27. Let's look at what the Bible says there. John 6 and verse number 27. Watch what the book says.
Labor not.
The Bible, watch this now. Now the Bible already says in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse number 10 that the man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. I said the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the man that doesn't work shouldn't eat. You talk about a lazy man. Now, not one is out there looking for a job, can't find one, but a lazy man who refuses to work. The man that doesn't work, Paul says, shouldn't eat. Now watch this now. John 6, 27. Watch what the book says.
Labor not.
Watch this now. Labor not.
For the meat which
perish. For the meat that perish.
But for that
meat. For that meat.
Which endureth unto everlasting life.
He wasn't saying don't work to eat. But what he was saying is there is a greater meat. Yeah. And that's the meat of doing the will of the Father. Amen. He's not negating one. He's placing emphasis on one over the other. But he's not negating that. Yeah. Look at your Bible. St. John chapter 11. Let's look at verse number 1. In John chapter 11 and verse number 1, watch what the Bible says.
Now a certain man was sick.
Now a certain man named Lazarus was sick. Come on.
Of Bethany.
Of Bethany.
The town of Mary and her sister Martha.
Come on and read.
It was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment.
Yes.
And wiped his feet with her hair.
Come on and read, sir.
Whose brother Lazarus was sick.
Come on and read.
Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying,
Lord, behold,
he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness is not unto death.
It's not unto death. Watch this now. This sickness is not unto death. Come on.
But. For the glory of God.
Watch this now. We do know Lazarus did die. What he was helping them to understand, the greater emphasis is God is going to get some glory. This situation, God will get the glory. And so therefore, when you go back and we look at 1 Corinthians 1:17, we recognize Paul was trying to help them in Corinth understand. Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach. The emphasis is if I don't preach, nobody's going to be baptized.
That's right.
Paul wants, because when you drop down, go backwards at verse number 14. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:14. Before you get to verse 17, look at verse 14. What does the Bible say?
I thank God. That I baptized none of you.
I baptized none of you.
But Crispus and Gaius.
But Paul did baptize. Paul did baptize. And matter of fact, baptism is so, my last point, baptism is so important that you can't get through the gates of righteousness without it.
Yeah.
And it's, listen, I'm closing. I'm going to close with Bible, make it seem like I'm getting close to ending. baptism is so important until even Jesus himself was baptized.
Amen.
Look at your Bible. Matthew 3, and let's start reading around verse number 13. In Matthew 3, in verse number 13, Matthew 3, verse 13.
Then cometh Jesus.
I want you to watch this now. Then cometh Jesus.
From Galilee to Jordan.
I said Jesus was baptized. Go on and read.
Unto John to be baptized of him.
Come on and read.
But John forbade him, saying. I have need to be baptized of thee.
Watch this now. Jesus goes out to John, and John says, I have need to be baptized of you. Come on, read, sir.
And thou comest to me.
He said, and you are coming to me. Come on, sir.
And Jesus answered and said unto him.
And Jesus answered and said unto him.
Suffer it to be so.
Watch
now.
This now. He says, suffer it.
To be so now.
To be so now.
For thus it becometh us.
It becometh us
to fulfill all righteousness.
Don't miss this now. Don't miss this now. Suffer it, because it has to fulfill all righteousness. Now, this is Christ. This is before the gospel. Christ said to John, "We have to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Yeah. Well, what does that mean? Keep your finger there now. Don't go far. We're going to go to Psalm 119 and verse number 172. What does this mean? What was Jesus saying when he says, I need to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness? What was he referring to then? Well, in Psalm 119, verse 172, watch what the Bible says. Psalm 119, verse 172. That's Old Testament.
My tongue shall
speak. My tongue
shall speak of thy word.
Shall speak of thy word.
For all thy commandments.
All thy commandments
are righteousness.
The Bible says all of God's commandments are righteousness. So when Jesus says, suffer so to be so now, thus to fulfill all righteousness, Jesus was baptized not because he had sinned, but he wanted to fulfill all the commands of the Father.
Yes,
and if you, my friend, want to fulfill all God's commands, you must be baptized.
Amen.
And then not only that, Jesus was baptized. You're back there, sir?
Yes.
All right, in Matthew 3, watch what the book says.
And Jesus answered and said unto them, suffer it now to be so.
Yes.
For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.
To fulfill all righteousness.
And he suffered him.
And he suffered him.
And Jesus, when he was baptized.
Watch this now. When Jesus was baptized.
Went up straightway.
Watch this. Don't miss this. Baptism is a burial. I say it's a burial.
Yes.
Now I know we're living in a time where man will give you an option.
Mm-hmm.
Man will try to substitute. The concept of baptism, they say, well, there are different modes of baptism. Mm-hmm. They say you could be sprinkled, you could be poured, mm-hmm. or you could be immersed. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to deal with the etymology of the word baptism because it does not translate. It still means the same. But let me just say this. God knows the difference between pouring, immersion, and sprinkling. I said, God knows the difference.
Amen.
Baptism is a burial. God knows the difference, I said, between pouring, submersion, and sprinkling.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible told me God knows.
Okay.
Look at your Bible. In the book of Leviticus, the chapter is 14 and verse number 15. In the book of Leviticus, the chapter is 14. I said, God knows the difference between the three. Now, God is speaking to Moses. And God tell Moses, I want you to tell Aaron the priest what he needs to do. All right? Watch the book. Come on, read, sir.
And the priest shall take some of the log of oil.
Now God said to Moses, "Go. I want you to tell this to Aaron and the high priest. Aaron the high priest, take a log of oil.
And pour it.
Pour it.
Into the palm of his own left hand."
God says, pour the oil in the palm of your left hand. Come on, sir.
And the priest shall dip.
Watch this now. Then God says, after he pour it, the priest is to dip
his right finger.
He's to submerge his right finger
in the oil.
In the oil.
That is in his left
that's
hand.
That's in his left hand.
And shall sprinkle.
And then shall sprinkle. Pour. Submerge, sprinkle. God knows the difference between the three.
Yes.
And when it come down to baptism,
mm-hmm.
baptism is a burial.
Mm-hmm.
It's a burial.
Mm-hmm.
And when you bury something,
mm-hmm.
it has to go out of sight.
Mm-hmm.
When you bury something, it has to be completely covered.
Yeah.
I know that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible told me in Genesis 23, and verse number 1 that when Sarah died, Abraham needed a place to bury his wife, Sarah, 127 years old. Watch what the Bible says. I let the Bible talk quickly tonight.
And Sarah was 127 years old.
127 years old.
These were the years of the life of Sarah.
Come on and read.
And Sarah died in Kirjath-Arba.
Yes.
The same is Hebron.
Come on and
read. In the land of Canaan.
Yes, sir.
And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah.
Yes.
And to weep for her.
And to weep for her. Come on.
And Abraham stood up from before his dead.
Stood up from before his dead.
And spake unto the sons of Heth.
Come on and read.
Saying, I am a stranger.
I'm a stranger.
And a sojourner.
I'm a sojourner in this land. Come on.
Give me a possession.
Watch this now. Give me a possession.
Of a burying place.
I need a burying place.
That I may bury my dead.
I may bury my dead.
Out of my sight.
Out of my sight. A burial is out of sight. Baptism that's in the Bible is out of sight. It's a burial. Don't have time. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. We are buried. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 12. We are buried. We are buried with Jesus Christ. I got to hurry. Listen, Jesus was baptized to fulfill all the Father's commands. He told us that baptism is a burial. Come on, you back in Matthew 3? Matthew 3. Yeah, don't leave it. Don't leave it. It's too much good stuff in there. I'm trying to close. All right? Baptism is a burial. Mm-hmm. Come on to read, sir.
And Jesus went. When he was baptized.
When he was baptized.
Went straight up out of the water.
He went straight up. That means it was a burial because he came up out of the water. That means he went down in it. You can't come up out of it unless you go down in it. And the book says, come on, sir.
And lo. The heavens were opened.
Listen.
Unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God.
If you want heaven to be open, you got to come through these gates of righteousness.
Amen.
I said, Jesus, the first time on earth, the heavens were open.
Yeah.
When were they open? After he was baptized. And no need for us to say, I'm just going to run on to see what the end's going to be. No need to say, I'm just gonna take my chance, do what I want to do and stand before God and take me. No. You have to do what God told you to do. And I know I was talking one time to this young man. This young man said, well, I'm young. He said, you know, he was of age, but he said, but I'm young. And he says, I just think I'm going to be all right. I said, son, you got to understand what the Bible says. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And verse number 9, yet young folk, be mindful of this. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse number 9. I want you to read, because we often read chapter 12. Remember now thy creator. But before you get there, chapter 11 and verse number 9 says something very powerful to young folk. Listen to the Bible.
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
O young man.
Young folk, listen. Learn to enjoy being young. Nothing is worse than a young person trying to be old. The only thing worse than that, when old folk try to be young. When youth is gone, it's gone. You can try to be young you want to, but I come by here to tell you, time is going to tell on you that there are some stuff you used to do, you have to come to the realization. I just can't do it no more. Yeah, and you ought to grow old gracefully. Amen. The Bible said, listen, it tells us in regards to the youth. Come on to read, sir. It says, rejoice in your youth. Come on, sir.
And let thy heart cheer thee.
And let your heart, learn to be joyful. And I recognize, young people, you got to avoid sorrows. I don't have time to deal with all of this. But in Matthew chapter 6, we often read where the Bible says, verse 33, and the Bible says, seek ye first. I don't have time. But when you actually read that, when you start in Matthew 6:25, he talks about don't worry. Don't worry because the lilies of the field, they don't worry. The birds of the air, they don't worry. But God takes care of them. He's helping us to understand, don't worry. Well, how can we as Christians not worry? He tells us, because when you look at chapter 6, he talks about friends and fashion and finance. He talks about food. He talks about all of these things. And he says, all these things the Gentiles seek after. But he said, but this is how you have a worry-free mind. Mm-hmm. Verse 6:33, seek first the kingdom. I don't have time. That word kingdom, the basileia, is the reign of God in the lives of his people. God wants to reign in the lives of his people. God wants to reign in our hearts. The Bible says, seek first
kingdom of God.
The reign of God, the kingdom of God, and his commandments, his righteousness.
Yeah.
And all these things
shall be added.
Will be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go through life worrying. Mm-hmm. Just trust God. That's what it's trying to help us understand. When you trust him, you got to trust him. He'll free your mind. You'll sleep better at night. You won't age so fast. Amen, somebody. I say when you let the Lord take control, your mind is stayed on him. That's why the Bible said, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall. He'll direct your path. He'll direct your path today. I got to hurry. I keep saying that. It don't mean nothing, but it just sounds good right through here. All right. And the book says,
And let thy heart cheer thee.
And let your heart cheer thee.
In the days of thy youth.
Watch it. Let your young folk learn to be happy. Be happy in your youth. Don't allow yourself to become burdened down. That stuff is going to come. The best time of your life is when you're living at home with your parents. You will never have it that good again. I mean, food is free, no rent. Amen, somebody. Because I know young folk, I can't wait to get out. All right, now. The prodigal son was like that. He couldn't wait to leave. After he left, he tried to hurry up and come back. Amen. I remember Brother Mitchell, my son, he was working, and I tried to help him understand, you know, when you're young, you got to get a job. Because home is training ground. And when he got a job, I had to explain to him, now it's time to pay rent. I taught him to pay rent when he stayed with me, because once he leave the house, he going to pay rent to somebody else. So he paid rent. And then he worked on his job about 6 months, and he came home so happy. He said, Daddy, guess what? He said, I got a raise. I said, praise the Lord, the rent just went up. Oh, I was trying to help the fella. I'm trying to help him to understand how to get ready for life. I'm trying to get, I'm in church, so I tell you, I collected his money, and after I gave all his money back. When he left the home, I gave all his money back, but I wanted to make sure he understood, you know, the fact that you got to learn in life, you got to learn to pay your way. You got to pay your way. And now that he's married, I know his wife is so happy. I taught him some stuff. Amen. Because now he got his own family. Amen. And another thing, he can't come back home either. Amen, somebody. All right, let me hurry. I got to hurry. And the book says, come on, sir.
And walk in the ways of
your
heart.
In the ways of your heart.
And in the sight of thine eyes.
In the sight of your eyes. Watch this.
But know thou.
Young folk, but know thou.
That for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment.
God is going to bring you into judgment. Don't think because you're young, you're going to get away.
Amen.
Judgment
Amen.
Will come.
Amen.
So let me hurry. And so therefore, if you want heaven to be open to you tonight, you got to be baptized.
Amen.
I'm back in Matthew 3. He did all the commands of his father, taught us that baptism is a burial. First time heaven was open. Come on and read, sir. The heavens were open unto him.
And he saw the Spirit of God.
Watch this now.
Descending like a dove.
Listen, the Holy Spirit was given to Jesus after he was baptized.
Amen.
And if you want the Holy Spirit tonight, you got to go in the waters of baptism.
Amen.
Well, why is that important, Brother Pound? Why is that important? Because, see, the Bible said in Romans 8 and verse number 9 that if we don't have the Spirit, we're none of his. You see, the Bible said, Romans 8, verse number 16, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We're the children of God, my friend. And the Bible tells us, and don't have time, 1 Thessalonians 4:8, the Bible said that the Holy Spirit is given. 1 Thessalonians 4:8, the Holy Spirit is given. Romans 5:5, God gives the Spirit. When does God give the Spirit? Acts 5:32, he gives the Spirit to all them that obey him. Is there an example of somebody obeying God and God giving them his spirit? Yes. Acts 2:38. Peter told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You see, you got to be baptized. You must be baptized. And so look at what we have quickly. To fulfill all God's commands, he was baptized. He taught us that baptism is a burial. If you want heaven to be open, you got to be baptized. The Holy Spirit will be given to you when you are baptized. And the book says, come on, read, sir.
And lighting upon him.
Lighting upon him.
And lo, a voice from heaven
said. A voice from heaven said.
This is my beloved son.
The first time God called Jesus his son was after he was baptized. I said the first time God recognized Jesus as his son while he was on earth, it was after he was baptized. And I want us to understand this tonight, that you and I, we're not children of God until after we've been baptized. In Galatians 3:26, the Bible said, for you're all the children of God. Watch this now. Now he said, that's what you are presently. Verse 26, for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Present tense. You are all presently the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, how was that? Because of what they did in the past. There was something they did in their past to help them to become who they were in the present. Look at verse 26 again. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized have put on Christ. Well, how did they become children of God? They had to be baptized. And I'm saying the same thing to you tonight. You must be baptized. He called him his son. We are not sons of God until after we've been baptized. 1 John 3:1, the Bible said, beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You are not a son of God without being baptized. And the book says he called him, this is my beloved son.
In whom I am well pleased.
The Father was pleased with the Son.
Yes.
The first time he said that, when he was baptized. Yes. And then go to Luke. I said Luke chapter 3 verse 21 and I'm done. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 21. What does the Bible say? Luke 3 and verse number 21. Luke chapter 3 and verse number 21.
Now when all the people.
When all the people.
Were baptized.
When all the people. Number 6, God was pleased. Number 7, when all the people.
Were baptized.
Were baptized.
It came to pass.
It came to pass.
That Jesus also being baptized.
Jesus also being baptized.
And praying.
And the first time we see Jesus praying was after he was baptized. Okay. Is baptism important? Yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. If you want to fulfill the commands of the Father, you must be baptized. Baptism is a burial. Heaven will be open. God will give you his Holy Spirit. You'll be a son of God, a child of God. You'll be pleased with the Father. The Father will be pleased with you. And my friend, you have the power of prayer. Amen. It's available to you tonight. Amen. But you got to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not saying just come to anybody. I'm coming to the one who can help you. Jesus. A, he's everything to me. A, he's an antiseptic for my aches. B, he's a balm for my bruises. C, he's a cure-all for my calamities. D, he delivers from my dilemmas. E, he erases all of my errors. F, he forgives all of my faults. G, give me grace for my guilt. H, healing for my hurts. He identifies with my infirmities. J, he gives me joy over other people's jealousies. K, he gives me knowledge when I'm knocked down. He leads me when I'm lost. M, he gives me mercy for my mistakes. M, give me mercy for my mishaps. M, he gives me mercy for my mess. N, he's near when I need him. O, he's online when I'm overwhelmed. P, he's my partner in a peril. Q, he's my quiet in a quarrel. R, he's my redeemer when I return. S, he's my savior when I'm sinking. T, he's my teacher when I'm in trouble. U, understanding when I'm undecided. V, he's my voice when I'm vocal. W, he's my wall when I get weary. X, he's my x-ray when I examine. Y, my yardstick when I'm yearning. Z, he's my zeal when I'm zealous. Nobody could treat you like Jesus. You need Jesus tonight. And the writer said, didn't have time to do. Oh, my goodness. Brother Mitchell, I had about 6 points. I didn't get to just one tonight. He says, open to me the gates of righteousness because I want to come in. I want to come in because when I come in, then I'm going to be righteous. I'm going to be right with God. I want to be right with God. I don't know about you. I may not be right with people, but I want to be right with God. When you leave here, you want to be right with God. And my friend, death is everywhere. I said, death is no respecter person. You know, I used to always think when I was young, you know, I used to listen to the older people, and older people, they would talk about the idea of death. Death would be chasing you. But I learned death doesn't chase us. No, why should death chase you when death knows he's going to catch you? No. Death doesn't chase us. What death does is very simply this. Death just goes to this place. Death just goes to a spot and wait for you. Because it knows you coming. And so, because listen, all right. Yeah, stay with me now. I'm closing. You and I, we came into this world at a particular place.
Yeah.
On this big old earth, we came into this world at one particular spot. We're going to leave here from one spot. You're not going to die. They say, well, they died in Jamaica and they died in the United States. No, you're going to die in one place. So what death does, it just waits in that place. You could be in the hospital, room 217. You could have been there many times. But on this occasion, when death is now ready to take us from time into eternity, it just waits for you. He just waits for you. Now, some of y'all look like y'all were trying to change seats. And maybe death is waiting for you. No. Don't change seat because a seat you change, that may be where death is waiting on you. Take your chance where you are. Take your chance where you are. What I'm saying to us tonight, that death is sure. That death is sure. And I'm saying to you tonight, give your life to Jesus Christ. I want to be saved tonight, Brother Powell. I want to go through those gates of righteousness. I want to be right with God tonight. What do I need to do, Brother Powell? I recognize Jesus was baptized. You must do the same thing. After having heard how Jesus died for you, he was buried, rose again the third day. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized in water for the remission of sin. Baptized. Fulfill all the Father's commands. Baptized. Be buried in water. Baptized. Heaven will be open to you. Baptized. He will give you his Holy Spirit. Baptized, you will be a child of God. Baptized, the Father will be pleased with you. Baptized, you will have the privilege of prayer. All of that is yours tonight, but you got to say yes to him. Come on and say yes to him. Come on through the gates tonight. If you remember the body of Christ, you're going astray. Come on back home through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you need prayer, whatever the case might be tonight, come on right now. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Come on to Jesus. Come on, as we sing, Brother Brown. 576.